Today, we're going to talk about and learn about, I hope, Jeremiah. We did Elijah last week, and we're on looking at prophets. And Jeremiah wept a lot. So there won't be lots of jokes and things today. We've had those, haven't we? And he wept a lot. And so he was called the weeping prophet. So I'm just going to take a reading from Jeremiah chapter 19, and we're hoping it will be on the screen. If you could follow it with your eyes so that it sinks in. And I hope to read it. Which version have we got? Pardon? Okay. Thus says the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen flask. That was a pot. And take some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests and go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the potter's gate, and proclaim there the words that I will tell you and say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring such a catastrophe on this place that whoever hears it, his ears will tingle. Because they have forsaken me and made this an alien place, because they have burned incense in it to other gods, whom neither they, their fathers, nor the kings of Judah have known, and have filled this place with the blood of the innocents, children. They have also built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, and nor did it come into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hands of those who seek their lives. Their corpses I will give as meat for the birds of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. I will make this city desolate and a hissing, and everyone who passes by it will be astonished and hiss because of all its plagues. I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and everyone shall eat the flesh of his friend in the siege and in the desperation with which their enemies and those who seek their lives shall drive them to despair. Then you, Jeremiah, shall break the flask, the pot, in the sight of the men who go with you, and say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so I will break this my people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel, which cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet until there is no place to bury. Thank you. Such a sad reading. But there was still time to repent. Right. Oh, there they are. You see, God wanted a pot that was beautiful. He was the potter, and that's what he was trying to do. But the clay was fighting against him and refusing him. And all God could make was a rough pot that was hardly any use to anybody. So, Jeremiah. Well, for this, I thought Bradley was happy to help me. Could you stand up, Brad? I found out that do you want to come forward a little bit? Brad is in is going to be starting some training. And he's a young man, isn't he? And we all love Brad. And Brad is a little bit timid, like some of us here. Now, Jeremiah was a young man. He was in training. He was training to be a priest like his father, Hilkiah. And he loved God like Brad. And he lived very close, only 3 miles from Jerusalem. So it was easy for him to go and speak there. Okay. Now, what was his nature? I said he was timid and shy, but he was compassionate. And he was loving. And he was godly. And how was he called by God? How was he called? Well, just, he was, we think, about 17 years old. And that's amazing. And one day when he's out and about, he hears God's voice saying, Jeremiah, I have a plan for you. I'm calling you to be a prophet for me. Okay, thanks, Brad. And I have seen you before, well, I saw you in the womb, but I chose you before that even to be a prophet for me. Isn't that amazing? And I want to use you to go and speak to the nations. 17-year-old. And he says, God, I can't. I'm only a youth. And God straight away says, don't say that, Jeremiah, because I am going to touch your mouth and put my words into you. And I'm going to make you not timid anymore. I'm going to make you like a brazen wall, strong against your enemies. Now God said, what do you see? And just as Jeremiah could hear God really well, I know that people in this congregation hear God. And I know that some of you are prophetic. I want to encourage you. And God said, what do you see, Jeremiah? And he said, he saw lots of things that day. He said, I see a pot. I see a pot boiling away. And then he said, I see some fruit, some figs. I see good figs and rotten bad figs. And I see almond blossom. They're ordinary things, folks. So when you see ordinary things and you're praying for people, trust what God shows you. It hasn't got to be an amazing thing. And this pot he saw, we speak about it later. So what was Jeremiah's mission? To go to the nations? And we think, oh, we haven't got any jurisdiction to go into the nations. They've got this God. They've got the Muslim God. They've got Buddha. We can't go and tell them about Jesus. Yes, we can. Because God created the whole world. He created the nations. And he was there at Babel. And Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We must not fear where there are other gods that are believed in. So he's got to go to the nations. And there were about 10 nations at that time around the area. And God said, Jeremiah, you listen and you speak every word that I give you. Because Judah, your land, where he lived, have done a terrible thing, and we saw some of it. They had forgotten God. Am I speaking too loud? Is it okay? They had made idols, carved idols, chiseled idols, and they were worshipping Baal and bringing those idols into the temple of God. They were even sacrificing their own babies and children to Molech, who was a stone figure and had a furnace in his stomach, and they rolled the babies down into the furnace to cover up their sexually immoral actions, the babies they didn't want. Now this pot, God says, Jeremiah, This pot is tipping from the north, and it's a boiling pot, and it's spilling over. It's spilling over with my anger. My anger is boiling, my judgment is coming. And just as it tipped from the north, God said, I'm going to bring judgment from the north. I am going to bring an empire that's growing, the Babylonians. They're my servants, he called them. God's servant. And Jeremiah's advice, because he was giving all this out, speaking it out in Jerusalem, Jeremiah's advice to the people in sin was, when they come, surrender. Three S's I spotted. Surrender to them. Submit to their ways when you're taken. Pay those taxes. Keep their rules and laws. And the last one, settle in the land. They were going to be there, he said, 70 years. So plant your seeds and crops. Have your children. It's a big time away, 70 years. And his message always had, there's still time to repent. Because if you do, God may change his mind and not take you into Babylon. Did Jeremiah suffer? Boy, did he suffer. And he wrote 52 chapters about it. The longest prophecy we've got. And the next five in Lamentations. A song of crying, a song of tears. So did he suffer? It's amazing that his family, when he was a lad and going around speaking, planned to have him killed. There was a plot for his life. And then his own people later on, to his face, kept calling him a traitor. Just imagine. And then, as he preached in the temple, warning the people because he loved them. That's why he was banned by the judges from going in the temple ever again, to shut him up. Now, God said, right, we need it written down then. If they won't let you go in and speak, you've got to write. Hear that, folks? Some of you have got to write. And he chooses his friend, Baruch. He hasn't got many friends. And Baruch writes down every word that God said to Jeremiah, that Jeremiah said to Baruch. And this scroll has got all this doom and what's going to happen. And eventually it gets taken, not by Jeremiah or Baruch. They go to hide. It gets taken to the king, Jehoiakim. And it's winter. And a guy comes in and reads this to the king. The king hears it. He's angry. Another empire? How dare they? They're not taking us. And he cuts it up with his dagger knife. And he burns it all on the fire. Weeks and weeks of work. How do you feel when your computer crashes? Or you press the wrong key and you lose everything? Devastating. You feel like giving up, don't you? Kick it. Not Jeremiah. God said, Jeremiah, take another scroll. Start again. Don't give up. You know, God uses drama with the prophets, okay? And this represents a yoke. And one day God said to Jeremiah, because I haven't got a real yoke, he said, I want you to walk around the city and to go to the prophets and say to the prophets, he's been to the king, say to the prophets, prophets, all this is going to come upon you unless you repent. And one of the prophets was called Hananiah. And Jeremiah said, it's 70 years of punishment. And Hananiah was angry and he smashed the yoke off Jeremiah's shoulder. And he said, that's a lie. And even if we get taken into Babylon, We'll be back in 2 years easy. Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord says. And because of that, Hananiah, you're a lying prophet, and we have to watch out for them. Because of that, you will be dead within a year. Sure enough, 7 months later, Hananiah dies. Then he goes to the priests. And he's talking to the priests about the boiling pot that's going to spill on them. And the high priest, the top one, is called Pasha. And he hears this news and he slaps Jeremiah hard on the face. And then he takes him, must have tied him up, and he whips him all night, it says. Just imagine his back. And then in the morning, he puts Jeremiah in stocks for the whole town to mock him. Would you give up? Everybody refused to listen and repent. It was a 40-year ministry of that. What a man. And it spanned over 5 kings. In a way, that was good because they all heard what was going to happen. Can you see in Jeremiah a type of Christ? Yeah, some nodding going on. The whipping, the smacking, the disbelief, the enemies, long-suffering, obedience, going to the cross. And then he gets more suffering later on. He's thrown in a dark dungeon. He's thrown in a horrible cistern well. That's a narrow top, apparently, and you can't get out. And it was empty, but it was full of 4 or 5 feet of mud. And they expected him to drown and die. But God sent a helper in the night with a rope and rags so he wouldn't get sore. And they lifted him out. And then, after that, he was imprisoned for a long, long time in the king's court. But he did get, like you and I would have done, to a point of despair. And you can read this in Jeremiah chapter 20. And he curses, like Job, he curses the day he was born. And he said, God, I wished I hadn't come out of my mother's womb. I wished I'd died there. Why? Do we ever get to that point? But he was saying it as a prayer to God. And in the same chapter, you read that he said, he tried to keep quiet. He tried to keep silent. But the word of God was in him like a fire. And he couldn't but help speak it out because he loved them. And he said when he tried to keep it in, it made him so tired, his bones ached. Then suddenly, it was time for God's judgment. Can you pick that up, sir? It was too late now because the pot was boiling over. Destruction was at the gates. Judgment was coming. The Babylonian army had come. And they were encamped all outside the walls of Jerusalem. Fearsome looking. And they must have rammed the walls and rammed the walls and rammed the walls until they broke. And many captives were taken that day. 3,023. And Jehoiakim, the king, was hiding somewhere inside and didn't surrender. But at night he thought, I'll escape with my men. And he went through the holes. But The king of Babylon's men heard and saw him and caught him. And they captured him. And he was killed, just as Jeremiah had foretold. Thrown out in the heat of the day, it says, like he put the scroll in the heat of the fire. 6 years later, the Babylonians come back. And I'm sure that those Jews were frightened to go out because it says they starved and they ate themselves. Terrible. And some more captives are taken. I did have a note of all the numbers. And then 13 years later, they come back again. And this time they finish the job. And they take the rest of the captives. A total of 4,600. And this time, every wall's down. The whole, all their houses and homes inside are burnt. The temple's burnt. The king's house is burnt. Everything. And they decide to just leave a few old farmers around the outside. And also, they took all out of the temple. They took everything that was precious and valuable, brass and gold and silver, and took it back to Babylon to become even richer. And they took, the king at that time was Zedekiah, and he didn't try and run away. So they took him, but because he was the king, they made him watch his sons being killed and then took out his eyes. And Jeremiah is captured as well, surrenders and goes with them. But you know, even in Babylon, he kept on preaching a loving God and repentance and judgment and why it was all happening. And when they were there, the Babylonians said, "We've heard you lot like singing. Come on, Jews, sing to us." And they said, "We can't sing. We can't sing to you. We're grieving. We're grieving our homes and everything." And it reminded me of the song by the Waters of Babylon. I don't know whether we've got the YouTube, but Don McLean, are you there, Nick? Hello? Is anybody up there? Have you got the YouTube of Don McLean? And he wrote this song, "By the Waters of Babylon." I listened to them all, and this, to me, was the best one. And we'll cut it where he starts to say, "Sing it in parts," because they weren't very good at that.
It's on its way, one sec.
Okay. Now, what I want you to do when we find Don with his guitar, I want you to listen to something he says about this country. Or was he American? So it was about America. But listen to it, because I think it applies to us. Do we have some lights out? No, he's got a yellow shirt on, do you remember? Don't worry if we can't find it. It's a very sad one. He's got a yellow shirt on. And while you're looking for it, I'll just carry on. I can relate to Jeremiah. Can you? Because I feel that God has been weeping over this country. And I felt that probably, I was thinking about, probably for about 30 years, that God is so sad because we have gone in that 30 years further and further, further and further away from God. We are committing all the things that he told us not to commit. We've broken the commandments as a nation. And I believe he's weeping over us.
A reminder of your constant loss, a symbol of your pain.
No.
And your friends are together.
No, it's the wrong one. It's "By the Waters of Babylon." Is this it? By the waters of Babylon, that different words. It is the one with the yellow shirt. Maybe that was the end. What should we do? Should we move on? Maybe we could try and sing it together.
By the waters of Babylon, we lay down and wept for thee, Zion. We remember thee, Zion.
So they sat by the river of Babylon and they wept, it says, remembering Zion. And if you can find that at home, it is a lovely, sad, but true thing that happens in the Bible. So I believe that he's calling us in our nation to repent. We cry out, send more of your Holy Spirit, send us the gifts, do this God, do that God. That disturbs my heart because God has already done everything he needs to do. He's given us everything he needs to give. But what he's saying is, look at yourselves. I want you to do repentance. Repentance. And we need people to teach us how to repent. You know, the prophets, John went round a charity shop yesterday to find a shirt. I can't do it. And thank you, Leon, for trying with that. And the prophets would rip their clothes. And John can't do it, but that's okay. And
anybody with a knife?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But you get the idea. They would rip off their clothes and tear them in strips so people would notice. Why are you so sad? My clothes don't mean anything to me anymore. What matters is God's heart and the pain we're causing him. I really believe that God is saying it's time to repent big time before it's too late. You see, we're in a mess. And I believe God's, dare I say it, allowing it. Because he loves us. We don't want it to be too late. So if you know a good way of repenting, share it. If you're in a house group, share it. If you're in a youth club, share it. We had a bonfire many years ago in Birmingham. We shared this then. And the next week, people brought books they shouldn't have been reading, things they shouldn't have been putting in their bodies, jewellery they shouldn't have, and charms, and even the teenagers turned up. And at the bottom of the garden, we had a bonfire. And it was the Holy Spirit, because we were shocked. Jean Darnell saw a vision of lots of fires over England. And people have been saying, oh, that's the Holy Spirit breaking out, breaking out, breaking out, breaking out. Do you remember Pensacola in 1995? 5 years of revival. Do you know how it started? I looked it up. I wanted to go. I was saving money. And in the end, my friend and I couldn't go. I looked it up. It started with a visiting speaker, Stephen Hill. And what was he teaching on? Repentance and holiness and clearing out their lives. And on the Friday nights, they had dustbins this high at the front. And every Friday, people would come and drop in needles, drugs, condoms, bottles. And they would fill them up and then they go into the waters of baptism. What happened? Revival broke out, and thousands of people went to Pensacola to experience the power of God that fell on them. The ministers couldn't stand up. For 4 hours, I think it was, Stephen Hill could not stand up. And people went home changed, wanting to be holy for God. So now we're going to just play some music, I hope, with it's the YouTube. Have we got this one? And what I want you to do is meditate on it. Look at it a few seconds, look at it, but then shut your eyes and meditate. And that's where we're going to close.